Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, at Barrett Salee on Twitter, joins us now on the Bud Light Hotline. So, Barrett, reading your comments, do you have them? You have them pulled up right there, Pat? Can we get these just so we're accurate?
I saw a quote from you, Barrett, that said, Georgia big, Georgia blows them out. Is that accurate?
I don't know if I actually said that, but I did say double digits. And I just think, you know, some of your callers had mentioned it earlier, that the trenches are where games are won and lost. And I don't think there's anything to suggest that Alabama can fix its offensive line problem between Auburn and Georgia. So if that's the case, then what is Georgia going to do to that offensive line? It's going to just absolutely annihilate it. So I do think what you guys mentioned is true. Like, you know, go five wide and get the ball out quickly. That makes sense. And Alabama's got enough athletes to perhaps make big plays in that way. But to me, it's a mismatch. And it's a mismatch for Alabama at the wrong time.
Is there not something to be said, though, for this Alabama football team? This is the first game I can think of in forever, Barrett, where this team, psychologically, going into this game, feels it has something to prove. How big of a difference can that play? And then, on the flip side, psychologically, for this Georgia team, not being able to go and get over the hump against Alabama, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart and that coaching staff, but also being told how great you are all year and then looking at tape where Alabama struggled last week versus Auburn.
Yeah, you know, Alabama hadn't been in this position, I would guess, dating back to maybe the SEC championship game in 2009, the rematch of the Alabama-Florida game right at the beginning of the Saban era. You know, that's kind of when Alabama announced itself as a dynasty. So, and this is not a normal situation for Georgia, even when they won the SEC in 2017. You know, that was 2 weeks after losing to Auburn. So, yeah, I mean, I think it is going to be interesting to see how Kirby Smart approaches this. I'll actually talk to him later today for CBS Sports HQ about this. It's different, but I think from what Kirby has gone through at Georgia, I think he's learned from his lessons, right? Like, he hasn't handled things well in the past, and I think we all know that. But knowing what not to do is, a lot of times, the most important lessons you can learn. And I think this particular Georgia team, you know, talking to some folks around that program, it's really player-led. Like, it's really Jordan Davis, Nakobe Dean, you know, these guys, Jamari Sellier, who, like, these guys are leaders. They passed up on the NFL. They've brought everybody together. They're essentially like the Clemson defensive line in 2018, where, you know, the coaches don't have to do an awful lot. The players handle it, and they're handling it pretty well. And I don't see why that would change, because we haven't seen any reason to suggest that these guys can't handle it.
Granted, Alabama's not played a defense like they're going to face tomorrow against Georgia. But I think the same thing can probably be said about Georgia. I know they played Clemson in week one, but they haven't seen a defense or a absolute wrecking ball on the defensive side like Will Anderson. You agree that Alabama's way to stay in this football game is for the defense to put up a performance like they had last week in the Iron Bowl to at least give their offense an opportunity?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that might include taking more risk. It will include taking more risk than they did last week. And I'm talking about, you know, getting Will Anderson going in on first downs, you know, getting them in bad situations, negative situations. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be on Saban and Pete Golding to come up with a pretty good game plan to not only look at last week and what didn't happen or what did work, but sort of move it into, you know, against a Georgia team that is better on the offensive line, better at running back, I think better at quarterback, and at wide receiver, you know, getting George Pickens back, they're extremely dangerous. So, It's a lot more of a challenge defensively, and I do think the big plays that Alabama has given up this year, not necessarily last week, but certainly in previous games, is going to be interesting to see how you overcome that. And I think the way to do it is to bring pressure early, bring pressure often, take risks, and especially on first down, try to get Georgia in negative situations where you kind of force Stetson Bennett to win with his arm. And, you know, I think he can do it. I don't necessarily know if I'm accurate. I think there's certainly arguments against it, but I think if you bring pressure on Stetson early, make him be in second and 13 situations, that's the way that Alabama gets it done.
Hanging out with Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, at Barrett Salee on Twitter as we preview championship weekend, huge weekend in college football, and he joins us in the Bud Light Hotline. Barrett, moving away from that game, Which other game that would have impact on the college football playoff potentially would you say the underdog has the best chance of winning outright?
The underdog best chance of winning outright. Well, I think Oregon is going to beat Utah today, tonight, so there's one. I think Cincinnati is going to fall to Houston. So those two, I think, are going to happen. And now I wouldn't say the Pac-12 championship game really affects the college football playoff race, but if Cincinnati loses, then, okay, maybe there is a little bit more to be said there. But I do think Cincinnati loses to Houston, and it's interesting because I was thinking about this on SiriusXM yesterday. If you go back, let's just say Houston beats Cincinnati, right? The biggest game of the college football season would be Texas Tech versus Houston in week one.
Yeah.
Because since then, Houston hadn't lost, right? So it could be one, the game that we could look back, if Houston beats Cincinnati, as the most important game of the playoff this year could be Texas Tech and Houston, which is crazy to think about.
That is nuts. We've had a lot of turnover since the last time we talked to you in regards to the coaching shuffling. You got Lincoln Riley heading west, and now you've got Brian Kelly, who's doing his best to try to sound like a Southerner, as he did in Baton Rouge. Oh, God. Your thoughts on Brian Kelly down in the Bayou?
I'm sure the family is happy that he's there. Good Lord.
Unbelievable.
But that
awful.
Was awful. I mean, it was so bad. Like, well, I've listened to the family part like 10 times today, and I bust out laughing every time. You know, I think Brian Kelly is fine. I think Brian Kelly is one of the top coaches in the country. And for him to go to the playoff 2 out of 3 years and then go to a national championship game in the BCS era another time with a roster that is, I wouldn't say significantly worse than some of the big boys in the SEC, but it's not as deep. And it's harder to recruit there. So you put him with the way he's been able to sustain success at Notre Dame, double-digit win seasons every year since that 4-8 disaster in 2016, you put him at LSU with better players, he's absolutely a threat. And I know he's kind of a lightning rod for obvious reasons, some quirky and funny, some extremely serious, but he's still a really good coach. And if you're going to give him even a roster that's just slightly more talented than what he had at Notre Dame, then he's going to be really dangerous.
All right, Barrett. So OU, Oklahoma, they still have a coaching vacancy. We've heard Brett Venables' name. We've heard Dan Lanning. We've heard Josh Heupel. Do you think these names are a smokescreen? Who do you ultimately think that Joe Castiglione is targeting?
I think he's going to get Luke Fickell. As the week has gone on, we're sitting here on Friday. You know, if it hasn't happened now with Venables, which I think was a legit discussion, then to me, a lot of this stuff is smokescreen, and the reason they hadn't hired anybody is because that coach is playing this weekend. So, I tend to think that it's Luke Fickell. Dan Lanning would be interesting because I think win or lose, Georgia's going to the playoff. I think that's fair to say. So that would be an interesting development. But to me, I just feel like Luke Fickell is more of a fit at Oklahoma than maybe some think, because, yeah, he's a great defensive mind. Well, A, that's what Oklahoma needs, but B, you go watch Cincinnati's offense, it's pretty innovative with Desmond Ridder. So my guess right now is Luke Fickell. I would have told you Brent Venables on Wednesday or Tuesday, but now that we're sitting here on Friday and it's been a long time, it makes me think that whoever's going to be that coach is coaching this weekend.
Yeah, because Venables doesn't have a whole lot going on, I would think, right now.
No, he's kind of bored.
Yeah, a little bit. Hey, Barrett,
nice,
we always...
It's nice out there. Maybe he's on Lake Hartwell. It's nice up there today.
Barrett, we always appreciate it, man. Enjoy the games tonight, this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys. See you.
All right. Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. At Barrett Salee on Twitter, joining us the Bud Light Hotline.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.